We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this day, Lord. This is your day. And God, we just, we're honored. We're blessed, Lord, that we get to be a part of this day that you've created. I pray, Lord, that you will meet us here now. We call upon the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you would come and fill this place with your spirit. Fill this place with your power, your love, and your goodness. And God, I pray that as we leave here today, I pray that every single person here will have had a real encounter with you. And I ask you for that now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you got your notes out, the first thing I want to mention is you don't accomplish great things without help. You can't accomplish great things without help. Back in 2012, it was October 14th, a man by the name of Felix Baumgartner ascended to 128,000 feet in a stratospheric balloon, and he made a free fall jump. He rushed to Earth at supersonic speed. He was literally going 833 miles per hour in a free fall to Earth. His free fall before he pulled the parachute lasted 9 minutes. 9 minutes falling at 833 miles per hour. To accomplish this, it took Felix and a team of over 50 scientists and engineers and others 5 years of planning to accomplish that. You don't accomplish great things without help. You guys remember back in 2013, Nick Walenda walked on a 2-inch wire across the Little Colorado River. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Near the Grand Canyon, the wire was 1,500 feet above the ground, which is 50 feet higher than the Empire State Building. And it was 1,400 feet long, which is about 5 football fields in length. When he was on that 2-inch wire, he faced wind gusts up to 48 miles per hour. And it took about 23 minutes to walk from one side to the other. To accomplish this, it took Linda and his crew 4 years of planning, testing, training, multiple trips to the Grand Canyon to study the winds and the temperature changes and all that. You don't accomplish great things without help. And so today I want to show you another example of this from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Another example of, we're going to learn how God equips us to be able to overcome challenges, equips us to be able to overcome the obstacles that happen in our lives. And so if you have your Bibles, you can go with me to Joshua chapter 5. We start our series, A Higher Level of Faith. So now, in Joshua chapter 5, Israel, the nation of Israel, has just miraculously crossed the Jordan River. God miraculously dried up the waters of the Jordan, and the nation crossed over into the Promised Land. This is what it took 40 years, and they finally made the crossing. They stepped over into this new land, the promise that God had given them. Now they're camped at a place called Gilgal. And at Gilgal, they could see the city of Jericho. Now, from a military standpoint, Jericho was their first objective. it was the first place that they would attack, the first city that they were set to conquer. This first objective was a formidable one. It was a massive challenge. The city of Jericho was one of the oldest cities in the world at that time. It was over 1,000 years old, way before even Joshua was born. Jericho was a symbol of strength. It was considered invincible. The location of it was set to where you could see from miles around in any direction. So any army that would try to attack it, there was no element of surprise. The walls of Jericho were 25 feet high, 20 feet wide, wide enough for a chariot to ride all the way around it. Soldiers standing on the walls could see for miles in every direction. And so as the commander of the army of Israel, Joshua knew he had a challenge. This was something that he had no ability to handle on his own. It was an incredible challenge. He had never faced a walled city before. And Israel didn't have any heavy weapons. It had no catapults, no climbing ladders, no battering rams. It was just a bunch of people that had just come out of the desert with maybe slingshots, maybe spears, some shields. Literally, that was all they had to try to conquer this great city. So Joshua was probably thinking about all of this as he's looking at the great city of Jericho, knowing that this was what they were facing. And as he was thinking about this, he knew, he had to know, man, there's no way. There's no way we can do this. We need help. So look in your Bibles, and you'll see it also on your screen, from Joshua chapter 5, starting at verse 13. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for your servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." Now, what I want to do today is I want to look at this encounter that Joshua has with this man, this commander of the Lord's army. There's four things that I want you to see from this encounter, four things that I believe will help us as we understand how to deal with the obstacles that we face in our own lives. The first thing that I want you to see from this encounter, and maybe the most important one, is number one, is the battle is the Lord's. Yeah. The battle is the Lord's. The battle you face is the Lord's battle. Yeah. It's not just your battle. It's not just your challenge. But ultimately it's the Lord's battle. Now, some scholars believe that this man that Joshua encounters was an angel. But most scholars believe that it was the Lord himself. I happen to believe that it was the Lord himself. But what I want you to see is that this scene reveals that this man, this commander of the Lord's army, who I believe was Jesus, didn't come there to be a spectator. He didn't arrive there just to kind of see what was going on. And I want to show you why I think that. First of all, the first thing that I noticed is that he was standing. It says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him. In the Bible, standing is symbolic of readiness. Symbolic of readiness. And how many of you guys know that even in our, even in with us, you know, when you stand up, something's about to happen, right?
Right.
Right? You know, when you stand up, you're either going to go someplace, you're going to do something, or how about, you know, if someone's sitting and you make them angry and they stand up, that's something's about to happen, right? You know? Don't make me get up. You know, anybody ever said that to your kids? You know, don't make me get up. So standing is a symbol of readiness. Think about this. Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Standing is a symbol of readiness. Even in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, I'm ready. I'm ready to come in if you call upon me. So this is the first thing that I see, that the battle is the Lord's in this encounter, that the man, the commander of the Lord's army, was standing. The second thing is really, really obvious. What did he have in his hand? He had a sword.
Yeah.
That's self-explanatory, right? You know? He had a sword in his hand. All right, the third thing that I noticed is that his answer to Joshua's question made it clear that he was in charge, that he was taking charge of the situation. When Joshua asked him, are you for us or for our enemies? He says, neither. But as commander of the Lord, of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And then he says, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. He immediately took charge of that situation. So let me ask you, are you facing an obstacle that is bigger than you? Are you facing a challenge? Is there something going on in your life that you know it's bigger than you, bigger than what you can just handle on your own? Are you facing a challenge as far as your health? A challenge as far as your family, your finances? Is there a sin in your life that you're struggling to overcome? Is there an addiction, a fear, something that you know that you're up against something? If you are, call upon the Lord. Yes. Call upon the Lord. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You know my favorite word in that verse is the word anyone. It's the word anyone. So it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what you feel or you think, none of that matters. Jesus says, if anyone will call upon me, I will answer. I will come in. Call upon the Lord. But when you call upon the Lord, don't expect him to be a spectator.
Right.
He comes ready.
Yeah.
Sword drawn,
yeah.
He comes ready.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that I see when I see this encounter. The second thing is that you overcome the enemy by faith. Pastor Luann talked about this during worship. You overcome the enemy by faith. Now, Joshua faced a military enemy. You and I aren't going to face a military enemy. Our enemy is, according to the Bible, is spiritual. But every enemy and every obstacle is overcome by faith. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. So every, look at me, pay attention.
Yes.
I said every obstacle, every challenge, every enemy is overcome by faith.
Amen.
By faith. So when the commander of the Lord's army appeared to Joshua, he took charge, and then he gave Joshua a plan. He gave him a plan. Now, that plan would require faith. And the longer you walk with the Lord, you understand every plan that God gives you will require faith. Every plan. So this plan that the commander of the Lord's army gives to Joshua would require faith. It was an unconventional plan.
Yeah.
In chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, you can read about this, but many of you probably already know about this. This plan would actually probably produced more questions than it did answers at first. You can only imagine Joshua getting this plan and going back to the people, and they're like, he's like, I had an encounter with the Lord, and they're like, really? Did he give you a plan? Yeah, I got a plan. I'm ready. I think we're all set. God's already told me exactly what to do. Okay, what is it? Okay, first, we walk around the city one time, and then we go home. Question. You know? Like, literally, like, walk around. Remember, the walls are 25 feet high, and there's soldiers on the walls with bows and arrows probably pointed at us as we were walking. You sure that's what he said, right? Yeah, I got it. Okay, but that's just part of it. Okay, then the next day, we do the same thing again. Question. We do that 6 days in a row. You got to be kidding me. That's the plan, y'all. Okay, then the seventh day, we go around 7 times. Okay, and then the trumpets will blow, and then we'll all yell something, and then the walls will come down, and then we'll win. Sounds straightforward to me. You know, how many of you guys understand? This would take faith. And come on, if I brought a plan like that to you, my phone would be blowing up all week long. Can I have a meeting? You know, we decided we're going to go to First Baptist on, you know, whatever. But that was it. Now, part of this plan is really interesting. He says on the seventh day, they were to walk around the city 7 times. And we know that the number 7 is symbolic of completeness, yeah, or perfection. And when you study this passage, you know, in chapter 6 of Joshua, you also see 7 priests, 7 trumpets, 7 days, 7 circuits around the city on the seventh day. In other words, it's saying that God's plan was completely perfect in every way. It was completely perfect in every way, but it would take faith. And we're told this, it's summed up in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. It says, by faith. Let me hear you say, by faith.
By faith.
by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Now, think about, when you look at that verse, think about it for just a sec. It doesn't say that, necessarily a miracle that caused the walls to come down. It doesn't say that it was some supernatural power that made the walls come down. It says the walls came down by faith. By faith. And so when you, just from a practical standpoint, what does that mean? It simply means God told them what to do and they did it. They didn't have to understand it. They didn't have to analyze it. They didn't have to debate it. They didn't have meetings and committees and vote on it. They simply did what he said. And when you simply do what God says, the walls come down. The obstacles, the challenges that you face in your life come down when you simply do what God says. That's faith. That's faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. After they did what he said, that's when it happened. You overcome the enemy. You overcome every obstacle of your life by faith. They trusted that God's plan was completely perfect in every way. And it was. So number three, the third thing that I see in this encounter is that Joshua's first response was worship, was reverence. His first response was reverence. In verse 14 of Joshua chapter 5, it says, "Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?'" He basically just said, "Speak, God. Talk to me. Tell me whatever it is that you want to say to me. Talk to me." He gives God honor, respect, and he wants to hear what the Lord wants to say. Guys, that's worship. That's worship. Do you know, and I mean, you've seen this and you saw it again today, that during worship, as we're in the Lord's presence, the Lord is speaking. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to Pastor Luann. You know, we see this Sunday after Sunday, and maybe you've seen it so many times that it's just kind of like, oh yeah, you know, we sing and God talks to Luann, she tells her stuff, you know. This is what happens every Sunday, you know. But when you worship God and you want God to speak to you, he does. He does. You know, this isn't our time as we worship isn't filler for, you know, like we just play until everybody gets here, you know, and then we do church. Worship is when we're calling on God to come here and to talk to us. Because Pastor Luann and I know that if God will speak, he will heal. Yes. He will bless. He will give you direction. He will give you guidance. He will give you answers to your questions or the issues that you have in your life. And so that's what we're thinking when we're up here. Mm-hmm. we're calling upon God to speak. That's the first thing that Joshua does, his first response. You know, not his second, not his third, but literally his first response was worship. Worship. Lastly, number four, his second response was humility. His second response was humility. He assumed the posture of a servant, took off his shoes, bowed down, even though he was the commander of the Lord's people. He was the commander, but he knew he was second in charge in that moment. So his second response was humility. As I said at the beginning, you know, you don't accomplish great things without help. And Jesus is ready to step into every situation, as far as every obstacle, every challenge that you face, he's ready to step into every situation. But before we close, what about when your focus really isn't necessarily about wanting to accomplish something great? It's just simply you're facing something that's really, really challenging. Maybe even life-threatening. Or it may not be life-threatening, but it certainly feels that way. How many of you guys understand and would relate with me that it's hard to keep your mind on hope and faith when sharks are circling all around you? Amen? It's difficult to stay focused as far as faith when stuff's coming at you and it's just piling on and piling on, and right when you think you can't handle any more comes on you. Amen? But it's so important to understand that if you will call upon the name of the Lord, he will come. Because God understands that you can't accomplish things, great things, without help. I read a story about a man. His name is Walter Wyatt, and he lived in the Bahamas. He was a pilot. He had his own plane, and it would only take from Nassau to Miami. It would only take an hour to fly. But one night he was going to make this flight, but someone had broken into his plane and stolen all the navigational equipment out of his plane. So he was going to make this flight with a compass and a handheld radio. So he takes off, and pretty soon it became apparent that the compass wasn't working and he was lost. He was able to radio a Mayday call. The Coast Guard tried to direct him to an emergency landing strip that was only 6 miles away. But by that point, his right engine sputtered and stopped. His plane was out of gas. So all he could do was just try to glide his plane and glide it into the ocean. He survived the crash, but the plane sunk right away. So he's bobbing in the water, 8 o'clock at night, with a leaky life vest. He's bobbing in the water, his head's cut, so he's got blood on his head. And so he knew he was in shark-infested waters, and he's bobbing, and he's kind of floating on his back, and he feels something bump up against him really hard. He knew it was a shark. So he starts kicking at it. He floated in the water for 10 hours. That morning, he looks up, sees a dorsal fin coming at him, kicks at the shark, kicks it away. two more come. He's kicking out the sharks. By this point, he's almost exhausted. And the sharks just keep coming. He hears the sound of an airplane. He waves his life vest. And the fortunately for him, the plane saw him and radioed Coast Guard Cutter. And the guy on the radio says, "You got to get here fast. The sharks are targeting this guy." The cutter pulls up, throws a ladder down. White climbs up onto the ship. First thing he does is gets on his face and kisses the deck. He had been saved. And he knew that apart from intervention from others, yeah, he was doomed. Yeah. He was doomed. But a similar thing happened the first day of the week after the crucifixion of Jesus. The disciples are gathered in a room with quote-unquote sharks, persecutors, yeah, surrounding them. Their Jesus was dead. Everything about their world had been turned upside down. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. There was a bounty basically on all of their heads. And as they sat in that room, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go, not knowing what could happen, what was about to happen to them, they had already found out that one of them had been a traitor. They didn't know if anyone else in the room was a traitor. But they were faced with the circling sharks. They were faced with an obstacle, a challenge that was way bigger than them, and they had no clue what to do. In John chapter 20, starting at verse 19, it says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together," and as they were together, again, remember, they weren't singing and clapping and filled with hope and joy. They were terrified and lost. So with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And notice what happens. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They kissed kissed the ground with joy, knowing that if it weren't for outside intervention, they would have been doomed. No matter what you face, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the challenges are, the obstacles that you face in your life, understand that without help, you aren't going to be able to do it. But the battle is the Lord's. Yeah. And if you will call upon him, he will come. Yeah. But don't call upon him if you want him to be a spectator. He comes with sword drawn. He comes ready to step in, ready to give you a plan, ready to help you if you will trust him. Amen?
Amen.
You guys bow your heads. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the beginning of this series. I pray, God, now that you will speak to each one of our hearts. You will seal your word in our hearts. And God, you direct us as to how you would have us respond to you now, I pray, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I want to give you an opportunity now. I'm not sure what God has spoken to you, but I believe that God has spoken to you in different ways. Perhaps what God has revealed to you is that whatever it is that you're facing isn't just your problem, but God wants it to be His problem. He wants the battle to be His, for you to trust Him. For others of you, maybe it's an issue of not asking for help, not asking Him to help you. Maybe God is encouraging you to call upon Him, to call upon the name of the Lord, to call upon Him to come in and to help. But no matter what it is that God is encouraging you to do, convicting you to do, whatever it might be, if the Lord has spoken to you in some way, and you know that God is calling you to do something, would you just lift your hand right now? Amen. Amen. And whatever that is, I just want you to take a moment just to say yes to the Lord. Just to agree. Father God, I pray for every single person, especially those that have lifted their hands. I pray that you will meet them in an amazing way, and that God, that by your power, your strength, you will step into whatever the situation is, whatever the obstacle, the challenge that your people are facing. I pray that you will step in, that you will speak, that you will give them a plan, that you will be there in the nick of time, that you will give them victory, you will give them wisdom, you will guide them, you will help them overcome, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Amen. Amen. All right, well, it's time for us to give our offering to the Lord. This is also the time where you turn in your connection card, and so I want to pray for you, pray for all of our hearts now as we give to the Lord. Father God, I thank you for your provision. Thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you that you show that, Lord, by taking care of us the way that you do. I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts today. Lord, show us how you would want us to give to you today. Show us, God, how we can sow seed into your kingdom, God. And I pray your blessing upon your people as they give now. In Jesus' name, amen.